Good. Guten Tag. Good morgen. Narcissan. Bonjour. Bonsoir. No, yeah, not yet. Bon appetit. Hi, hi. Good. Good. Great. So I'm Adrian, and is she listening up? Good. Pay attention. Great. So we're going to look at a passage from the Bible. But first of all, I just want to say hello. And nice to see you. Thanks for your prayers. Last week, I was with a church in the Middle East that has lost a pastor. So it wasn't planned, quite sudden. And it just meant so much to them and to me. And I passed on your love to them. So we are with you. We are with you. And so please be praying about that. Maybe get to tell you a little bit more on Tuesday night if you come along to the family meeting about some of the things that are going on in the Middle East. Next week, we have a pastor who was in Turkey, but is no longer allowed to be, but he is in the UK. And so he'll be preaching on Sunday morning, a guy called Mike. Sunday lunchtime, if you would like to stay and hear firsthand some stories, some things that God is doing in his part of the world, you're very welcome to stay. We'll have lunch. What will be really handy is that light lunch for 5 or 50. I just need to know how many bread rolls to get. So if you fancy coming, you can fast, of course, but if you fancy coming, you want some lunch, maybe 1 hour, hour and a half, let me know. So it'll be 1 o'clock till about 2:30. Anyone is welcome, but please let us know if you are coming, okay? Not now, but just let me know in the week, a text, WhatsApp, email, or just tell me. Okay, so that'd be good to do. Can we pray? Well, can we pray? Let's pray. Jesus, we're hungry for you. We are so hungry for you. And we ask you, would you feed us? Would you feed us, your sheep? Lord, we ask you for bread. Lord, we ask you for water. We're hungry, we're thirsty for your reality. Why don't you ask him right now, would you feed me? Feed me for myself. Feed me for my family's sake. Feed me for my employees' sake. Lord, feed us. Jesus. You're the bread of life, Jesus. And you know, that's what it says. That's what Jesus said about himself. I am the bread of life. Lord, so we come to you because we're hungry. And we're thirsty for you. Now, there's a passage in Isaiah where the king dies. The king has been on the throne for decades. And you think, in that culture, it was massive social, political upheaval. The king is dead. What's going to happen? How's it going to work out? What about the economy? Who's going to be in charge? And it says in Isaiah, he saw the Lord high and seated, lifted up. And so I just want to encourage you, as a freebie before we get onto the passage, but as we are in a country that's voting and it's this way, that way, and the other way, actually, let's be the ones that see the Lord high and seated. And off the back of that, Isaiah gets sent. He sees the Lord and he says, who's going to send? And he says, send me. Actually, let's be those that see the Lord, even when there's instability, changes, the king on the throne. Anyway, that was a freebie. So, it was a bit chilly for me when I got back from Middle East on Monday. You were used to the British temperature, but I'd been a couple of weeks ago in late 30s. Then the other week, it was like late 20s. And then I got back to England, and it was like drizzly and just about 10. And not only that, the clocks are different. When you go around the world, my body thinks, oh, great, it's tea time. But it's not tea time where you are, and it's like your bedtime, and then your body wants to wake up, and so Middle East was 3 hours different. So normally used to getting up about 7, suddenly your body thinks it's getting up at 4. And I don't know about you, but that's a bit of a shock. There's like these changes, and then the clothes you wear. So you don't need to wear a thick jumper and long trousers and hat and gloves when you're in the Middle East. But you do when you get back off the plane here in the UK. And there's this clock adjustment that goes on. I don't know about you, it comes easy. If you've got little kids, it really messes with their bedroom routine. There's lots of times in our lives where what's happening inside and what's happening outside like feels, oh, okay, how does this match up? And we have to adjust our thinking. Okay, this is now what the clock says. So you change the clock. That is the time. I know what it was yesterday, but that is the time. Or this is the temperature zone where I know it's very cold in that country, but this is where you're living. I remember another change that I went through when I was a student teacher. So you're always like a guest in someone else's classroom as you learn. But there comes a day when you get QTS, Qualified Teacher Status, and you have your own class. And now you're the boss of that class. Or working up where suddenly, okay, you're running a school for a time, did a bit of acting head, and suddenly it's not like, who fancies leading this school? Like, okay, the buck stops here and... Okay, it needed to be a change of thinking, because if you carry on leading your class like you're a student teacher, no, I'm the boss, I get to tell you what we're doing. Or if you're the boss in the school, I get to shape this culture. You know, when we follow Jesus, there's times like that too, where you change your thinking. And the interesting thing is sometimes it takes a while for that thinking to percolate. Even though we think, okay, I've changed my thinking, and perhaps you're here, I've followed Christ, like we're going to see the Ephesian church were following Christ, they were still, they hadn't changed all their thinking. And I wonder, as I speak this morning, that the Holy Spirit will show you, and show me, where am I still wearing old clothes? Because the Bible talks lots of times about the work of God in our lives being like getting a robe, being like clothed in righteousness. You okay with me so far? You're very quiet this morning. Say something. Say, good morning, Adrian. Morning, Adrian. Anyway. Let's read the first bit of the passage. Can you put the first slide up? Thank you, Michael. Okay, we're from Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 17 to 19, first of all. So, I tell you this. This is Paul saying this. I tell you. So, therefore, because of everything you've heard, the amazing preach that Gareth brought the other week, and Dave and all the others that have been preaching from Ephesians, because we're one new man, because there's the Father, because you're now seated in Christ, because of God, head over everything, for the church, his Son, the fullness of him who fills everything, because of God filling the cosmos, I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continued lust for more. You see, the moment you follow Christ, I don't know if you realize, if you're here as a Christ follower, you like change time zone, you like change geography zone, everything changed. The moment I followed Christ, the moment you followed Christ, you were relocated. But the thing is, it often takes a lifetime to work out, okay, so now where am I living? And because if you've had many years and so much practice and we're so steeped in it, actually, it becomes sometimes quite hard to leave the old ways of thinking. So over the next couple of weeks, the Bible's going to shine a light really helpfully onto you and I. And when it does that, he's inviting a response to say, yikes, God, would you change that? Because this passage was written not to pagans, not to people outside Christ, but to a church that was full of the Spirit. It was written to Christians that were following Christ. I insist on it, Paul says, stop living like the Gentiles, the pagans, in the futility of their thinking. You know, it's really important that when you and I, we speak to one another and we are working through issues, we remind ourselves and each other of who we are. So Paul is saying, guys, you have left that old way. It's not who you are. Why are you continuing in it? Hasn't God done a change in you? And so as we work with people, and particularly if you're a pastor, as you're getting alongside, it's not so much the behavior we're looking at. It's, do you remember who are? That's not who you are. You can tell off a behavior, but it doesn't, we want to call people, do you know, that's your identity. You're a son, you're a follower of Christ. Is that the way that followers of Christ can? No. As opposed to address the behavior, stop doing that. So we want to call out actually what God has put in us. Otherwise, we get very focused on the outside stuff. It's really important. Paul is saying, I insist on it. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. You know, let's be those that we flow out from who we are rather than put Christian behavior on some dirty rags. You know, sometimes, and maybe you're here, maybe you are looking in at church and think, I'll just add a bit of religion to my life to help me get sorted. I'll just add a bit of, okay, God, if you're there, and I'll come along to Open Door. I tried somewhere else the other way, and I'm just, a bit of religion will help me. I've put a bit in the offering, or, yeah, I pray every now and then. A bit of religion, it just makes me feel a bit better about myself. Friends, that's not the Christian gospel. Friends, that's not what Jesus has called us to. Jesus has not asked you to add him a bit to your life. Okay, why don't you join up with that party? Why don't you join that club? Why don't you add Jesus to that bit of your life? Jesus hasn't asked us to add him to our lives. He's asked us to end our lives. Oh, I thought it was just about Jesus making me feel nice. Jesus, like, giving me some respectability. I thought it was just about, well, that's what you do on Sundays, isn't it? And we're a Christian country, aren't we? Maybe Granny said this is what you do. Jesus hasn't asked us to add him. And I realize there's times in my life where I have added him when Jesus is saying, actually, Adrian, I want you to give everything. Okay, so, all right, it's me coming to you. I thought it was all about Jesus coming to me and, you know, being the kind sugar daddy that he could be. Because if I have needs, I can ask him, and he'll help me. And suddenly if I know Jesus says, go, I'm going to put you in places where you feel vulnerable. Jesus, that's not what I signed up for. I want you to make me feel nice. I wonder if you connect with that. And these believers here, Paul's saying, stop living in the futility of thinking. You're no longer yourself. So what does it mean? I wonder, it doesn't really work in this room, but if we turn the lights off. Imagine you're in a darkened room. So our bedroom, we've got like a blackout curtain sometimes, cause just to make it darker. And if you get up in the night, because sometimes you need to get up in the night. So I'm getting out of bed and I know roughly where the door is. And then I find, oh, I've come to the wardrobe. Now you don't want to use the wardrobe for what I've got. For what I've got up in the night. And the room is dark, and I'm like feeling around. And I mean, what handy would be for the light switch? Corinne wouldn't thank me for the light switch because she wants it dark. But eventually I find the door, and okay, and the rest is. the rest is okay. But That's what the world, the Bible says the world is like a room full of people. Have you been to an escape room? An escape room that is completely blacked out and everybody's feeling around saying, I've got the way out. And someone else, I've got the way out. It's like the world is full of everybody shouting, this is the way. You want to try this religion? This is the way out. No, this political system. Capitalism, that's the way out. No. This is the way. Sexual, just live as you want and be free, just to flow with whatever, however you identify. That's the way out. And the whole world is shouting, and depending what background, what country, what education, there's all sorts of different shouts. The Bible says they're all futile. Now, some of them might have some truth. There's some healthy people. There's some educated people that operate on us. They live in darkness, but they've studied. Or teachers, or businessmen, businesswomen. It's not that everybody is thick in the head, but it's they're living a life in darkness without God. They're living as a life denying the very one who has made them. So the Bible says that is futile. It says wisdom, or the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. So they're living without wisdom. They might be very wise and written books and all the stuff, but the Bible says without the fear of God, there's no wisdom. Oh, God. That's how some of us used to live. Paul says that's how some of you are still living, because we're thinking, okay, I've got Jesus, but I also need a bit of capitalism to help me. Okay, I need Jesus, but hey, we need the Tories to help. No, I need Jesus and we need other political parties. We need whatever. God, I need to find. No, I need Jesus, but hey, a bit of sex just helps my life get along. I need Jesus, but a new car, a holiday abroad, whatever it is. Paul says, stop living in dark. Actually, in Jesus, you've got everything. We'll come to that in a minute. We lose sensitivity. The world has lost sensitivity. The world has lost its right and wrong. And just switch on the news anytime. What is right and wrong? Nobody in our culture, you shouldn't say what's right or wrong, because how are you to say what's right or wrong? Because I think this is what's right or wrong. Oh, the world has lost sensitivity, any sense. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind. Actually, whatever you want goes. Ultimately, it's just a sink to the bottom. Actually, if anything, who are you to say what's right? If there's no moral absolute, anybody can determine. And we as a culture, we could decide all sorts of what we would call depravity is right. It's natural. That's what Paul says. But then he says this. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Do you know that? You did not come to know Christ that way. You did not. So why are you wearing the old clothes? He says. See, Jesus came into the world with a light. And the trouble with light, it reveals, like the emperor's new clothes, if you know that story. Actually, it reveals, I feel vulnerable. When the light shines, it shows me for who I am. I don't want the light. That's how the world's been. Jesus says, I'm the light. If you receive me, you have light in your life. When we receive that, suddenly we think, yikes, I'm a mess. All that stuff I'd rather you didn't know, no one knows. Now he knows. And actually within us, and may we this morning, a sense of the fear of God. I've offended God. I was with someone, talking to someone just the other week from the Middle East. And as they had been crying out, God, who are you? Where are you? They were filled with the fear of God. So they feared for their life. They were aware of the holiness of God. And all the stuff they had as religion didn't count for a penny. There's a God and I don't know him. Oh, and sometimes we're like that. Maybe you would be like that this morning. We realize there is stuff in my life. I don't want anyone. It's offended God. When the light comes on, man, and we feel guilt and we feel shame and we feel fear. The three big things that grip us, guilt, shame, and fear. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a book called Zechariah. And I don't need to find it, but I just want to read the story that happens about a priest. A priest. Okay, a holy one, following God. Zechariah 3. And then this is a vision he has. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the Lord. And at his right hand side was Satan, the devil, to accuse him. The Bible's clear, there is an angel, nowhere near the size of God, a created angel, the devil, but he's an accuser, he's a liar, standing next to Joshua the priest. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, get away. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this man not a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed, the priest, in filthy clothes. So the devil had a right, in a sense, to accuse him. "You've not measured up." The angel said before him and to all those who were standing, "Take off his filthy clothes." Take off his filthy clothes. The angels, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, "See, I've taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." And he said that, "I've put a clean turban on his head." They put a clean turban and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. What is it? This is a picture of what happens as we encounter Jesus. Jesus, the one who was naked, hung on a cross, gives us his clothes, as it were, and we give him all our muck, our shame, our guilt, and our fear. We say, "Jesus, naked on the cross, here, have that." And as we come to Christ, as we receive Christ, we become clean. And many of you, many a time, it's exciting. We think, "Yeah, I'm following Jesus now," and we're alive with it. But then as weeks and months go by, we realize, hey, there's still some of that fear. Or there's still some of that shame. Oh, when I was not a Christian, actually, even following Christ, now I've done. And there's our guilt. We find some of the stuff has it's followed us through. It's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. And God says, "I've given you, Open Door Church, a new robe." So how does it happen? You with me? Good. You're allowed to say yes. I heard Peter say yes. It's good to respond, but I'll speak to Peter. He's responsive. It's good to encourage one another. Please encourage me. So God gives us a new heart. We have thrown off the old robes. This is what it says now in verse 20. So the next slide. Thank you, Michael. "You, however," this is not the way you learned. "When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." He's talking to the church. Stop living in the futility. It's not how you were taught. "When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self." Ah, put off the old self. Yeah, put it off. It's being corrupted by the deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. Put on the new self. Yeah, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I wonder, are you wearing any old clothes, even as a follower of Christ? So maybe you learned some patterns when you were wearing the old rags, and that pattern was like, put yourself first because no one else will. So I get cleaned up by Jesus, but I still think, put yourself first. So I'll tell you one that is true for me. So my parents, great Christian people, but my dad brought us up, that financial health, saving for your family, providing for your family is what a good man, a good father, a good husband does. Okay, and And it's true in the sense that you don't want to waste it and chuck all the money away. But what that means is I come into a follower of Jesus righteous, but the old way is, okay, you need to make sure you have enough to follow God. And when I have enough, then I can take a risk. When I have enough, when God provides, then I can trust him. Now, that's not the right way. But it's like a bit of the old rag. So what has God done over the last 3 years? God has taken me through a place where, for some of my time, I'm looking to him regularly to provide. It's like, okay, God says, Adrian, we need to deal with this one in your life. You need to learn to trust me and not the employer, whoever that might be. I will provide. And 3 years, and God has provided generously and hilariously and free. It's like God's needed to work on some old rag that I was still carrying. I wonder what old rag you might still have. Perhaps one of fear. I'm very fearful. So I'm following Christ, but actually pretty much I'm still very fearful. Christ has set us free. He set us free. The robe Christ gives us is a robe of righteousness. It's a robe of freedom. It's a robe of authority and power. And it's a robe of honor. God has given us a robe of honor. Some of us, maybe you were brought up knowing a sense that God is a good judge and he's declared us right. The story of the prodigal son talks about God is also God of honor and he comes to love us. The Bible is a book of honor too. So maybe you think, I need to work through into the sense that God loves me, affirms me. Maybe it's the sense of, I'm nothing. I'm loved by God, but I'm just a worm. I'm loved by God, but God has seated us with Christ. That's what Ephesians says. I wonder, Holy Spirit, what area of my life am I still wearing old clothes? And what do you do? Paul says, be taught. He says, it's all about your thinking. Friends, I wonder how disciplined, and I talk to myself, how disciplined are we with our thoughts? How disciplined are we? Do my thoughts line up with what Jesus says? All the time, some of the time, rarely, never. Holy Spirit, will you show me? What area of my life, my singleness, my marriage, my retirement, my work, where am I not living up with freedom that you have, your clothes? Oh God, what would it look like for me tomorrow to go to work wearing robes of righteousness, wearing robes of honor, wearing robes of authority and power? Oh God, would there be any difference? What would it look like in our street? Holy Spirit, would you show us? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's ask. Holy Spirit, I invite you, ask. Holy Spirit, would you show me? Would you shine your light on me? Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you think, I don't really know this Jesus. You can still join with me as I pray. Lord, shine your light on me, on us. Lord, as Open Door Church, what robe might we be wearing that doesn't match up with a robe of righteousness and honor and authority? Oh God. God, come and shine your light. God loves to work in us. God loves in his gracious way just to bring a touch of freedom here, a whisper of grace there. I'm with you. Jesus, thank you. You have given us this robe. I want us to stand a minute and do an act. So Paul says, put off, take off. So we're going to take off. And you, whatever your robe is called, you can take it off. Okay, not literally. We're going to take off a robe of fear or take off the robe of, I must provide for my family. Whatever your robe, whatever the Holy Spirit shines onto you. Okay? And we're going to take it off, and then we're going to pick up from Jesus, and I put on the robe that he gives me, and we're going to name it. I put on the robe of honor. I put on the robe of forgiveness. I put on the robe of mercy, whatever it is, okay? Holy Spirit, shine your light on us. And just I invite you to stand. Okay, so you've got your robe. Imagine it's a cloak. Holy Spirit, show us. Don't need to go digging around. Okay? Got your robe. Paul says, God's word says, put off. Put off. Take off. So let's do it. Okay? And you can say, I take off the robe of, and then whatever your robe is. Okay? One, two, three. I take off the robe of fear. Okay? And I give it to you, Jesus. I take it off. Maybe I still feel comfortable. No, I take it off. Okay, this is a decision. It's not a feelings thing. This is a declaration thing, a truth thing. Okay, I take it off. Have you done it? Okay, now pick up from you. What's the robe he gives you? What's the robe that he says? If you're not sure, ask him. Jesus, and what are you giving me in return? What are you giving me back? A robe of peace? Oh, okay. A robe of cleanness? A robe of honor, a robe that you'll be my provider, a robe of freedom, a robe of deliverance. I'm not asking you to come to the front, but it just comes to my mind. Maybe it could be a lady or a man, and you have been... You feel sexually unclean. You feel sexually unclean. Maybe something was done to you, or maybe you joyfully engaged in something that you now think, I feel, has not left me feeling very good. It's left me feeling dirty and unclean. Why don't you take the robe off? Robe of shame. And Jesus gives you a robe of honor as you exchange with him. Jesus. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring your freedom. Bring your grace. Bring your life. Bring your goodness. Holy Spirit, fill us. Holy Spirit, we love you. Jesus. Now another thought that comes into maybe. So this is about leadership, and maybe you feel you fluffed up leadership before, or you ran away from it. You had opportunity, but when it came, you were found wanting. It didn't work out for you. And so maybe that I let God down, I let church down, I let whoever it was down. That sense of leadership. But maybe God wants to give you fresh grace for leadership in all its different ways. Leadership in business, education, it's much more than leadership in the church. But maybe you need to put down that robe that I failed. Jesus, I messed up. I own it. You've heard me pray it so many times. Maybe it's that conversation in his own. But Jesus, I pick up from you, like Jesus came to Peter and he reinstated Peter at the end of the book of John. Peter, who had denied Jesus, Jesus reinstated. I wonder if there's some reinstatement going on this morning. That doesn't mean you're necessarily an elder or the business leader next week. But what if God is giving you grace to go again? Grace to lead, man or woman, young or old. I just got faith that God's giving gifts of leadership and grace. Why don't you receive it? Resignation, like as boss of the company or whatever. What if it's an open door to something else? What if that meeting where you said this or did that, what if it's an open door to actually for God to bring some grace like he did to Peter? Lord, come and do that among us. Church or wherever that leadership flows. Jesus, come and bless us with your presence.
At this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
What I'd like to do is, if I feel particularly stirred about that call to fresh leadership. So I just want to invite you, man or woman, young or old, church or business, wherever that leadership fluff up came, I just want to invite you to come forward so we can pray for you. Fresh reinstatement. Okay, so just come and know the grace of God. And it may be many, maybe a few. Just come forward as we sing. And think, yeah, I put it down, I threw it away, I ran away. But actually, now I'm God. Here I am. I'm back again, like Peter. So why don't you come, and we'd love to pray for you and bless you as we sing. Thanks.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves when my heart becomes free. And my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, 'cause holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
As people continue to be prayed for, if you're sick and would like healing and would like to be prayed for, feel free to come forward. We have people here who are trained, particularly with the orange lanyards, to pray for you. Otherwise, if you would like to go and collect your children, and there's tea and coffee over in the bar area, while we continue to pray for people down here. But this concludes the sort of service as it is. Thank you.